The Albanese government has reversed their initial decision to exempt YouTube from the federal social media ban. Initially, YouTube was not included in the original ban. However, the inclusion of the platform comes after pressure from the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant. Other major platforms that fall under the ban are Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok and X. George Popel has this story.
The federal government has reversed an earlier decision to exempt YouTube from the social media ban set to come into effect in December. YouTube have lobbied against the change and are adamant that platform is not social media, but a video sharing platform. Tama Lever is a professor of internet studies at Curtin University and a chief investigator at the ARC Centre of Excellence for the Digital Child. He argues that YouTube's claim that it is substantially different to other social media platforms is unfounded.
I don't think that YouTube is significantly differentiated from other video sharing platforms. I think TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram all share lots of video content, lots of material that can be very positive and can have educational value. And I think that's been the argument that Google has made about YouTube, that it's got high educational value. I don't dispute that, but I also think that what has been made clearer over time is that YouTube also has content that is potentially harmful. That is the same sort of content that we've been worried about being on other platforms, and that YouTube's algorithms operate in a very similar way to the algorithms of Snapchat, the algorithms of TikTok, which can potentially lead any user down a dark algorithmic path if they start searching for and spending time watching the sort of material that might be problematic.
Specifically, young people under 16 are not able to create content and make YouTube accounts. However, they are still able to watch YouTube content.
You don't have to be logged in. You don't have to be an account holder to look at YouTube content. You don't have to be an account holder to watch content that's been shared with you by a parent, shared with you by a teacher, shared with you by someone else. You also still have the capacity to search YouTube for video content, even if you're not logged in. So a lot of the affordances, a lot of the things that Google has said, oh, YouTube's really good for, it can still be good for.
It is unclear how the government are going to educate teenagers on how to handle the dangers of social media when they grow out of the ban.
What this ban achieves is essentially a 3-year delay for young people accessing these tools all the time. What we should be seeing is what happens in those 3 years. What is the way that we're going to skill up young people to be incredibly robust digital citizens, where they're going to have all of the knowledge and all of the tools available to them to navigate these spaces successfully when they do turn 16. At the moment, the only thing we've got is the ban.
Joanne Orlando is an associate professor at Western Sydney University who specialises in digital wellbeing.
So in order to stay safe online, you have to understand online. You have to understand things like algorithms, privacy, why people post the things they do online, you know, what their underlying purpose or message is, how advertising is sneakily put into things, all those kinds of things that we're kind of coming to grips with as adults. That's what children need to learn, because when a ban is done or when they're of age, they still won't have learned those things.
A common concern of the bill is that enforcing the ban will place a lot of pressure on parents.
How are parents going to enable this at home? How are they going to stop their 14-year-old who's been using YouTube and using social media? How do they then get them off in line with the ban? I think a lot of families are going to experience a lot of issues here. So what support or what education or what is the government providing for families to be able to actually enact this ban?
There is a criticism that the government should have focused on harmful features of social media platforms rather than banning these platforms entirely.
I think rather than thinking about bans of platforms, I think the government could have thought about it in a different way. You know, there are particular design features in all these platforms, and they're the ones causing the issue. So maybe if we focus on fixing up the things like, you know, never-ending content, we get that on YouTube, we get on social media, but we get it in a lot of places as well. Things like, you know, data privacy, well, that's across all kinds of apps that kids use. So those kind of features that are the problematic features, maybe that's where the efforts need to go instead.
Dr. Joanne Orlando, researcher of digital wellbeing at Western Sydney University, speaking there with George Popel.